Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the promise of the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Poor Martha. That's what I think every time I hear that story of Mary and Martha. Poor Martha. Out of the blue, Jesus drops by her house, and even as it says she welcomes him in, it doesn't really sound like she was prepared for company that fateful day. I bet there were still dishes in the sink and dirt on the unswept floor, and the half a loaf of bread that was left was probably just on the verge of being stale. I'm sure the sheets on the guest bed were probably still dirty from the last time she had company there. And good heavens, she probably doesn't even want to think about what the guest bathroom situation looks like. So while Martha is rushing around in the kitchen trying to make up for lost time, can you hear her kind of muttering under her breath, using phrases like, why do I have to do all the work around here? Something about that good-for-nothing sister of mine. Maybe even something about, I'm going to wring her neck once Jesus is out of here. We can just feel her impatience growing and growing and growing as the minutes go by, until finally she can't take it anymore, and she complains to Jesus. I can imagine her probably still covered in flour, holding a rolling pin, probably kind of shaking it at him as she's talking, hoping he's going to take her side and make Mary help with the chores instead of just sitting there at his feet listening to whatever it is he's saying. And to her shock, and to the shock of every woman who has ever found a soulmate in Martha, busy, industrious, hardworking Martha, Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. It seems that Martha has missed the point of this visit. At the very moment, the one who is the head of the body, the head of the church, he's seriously in her house. The one who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead is actually under her roof. The one in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell is at that very minute sitting in her living room. It doesn't get any better than that. But what's Martha doing? She's in the kitchen, fussing, worried and distracted about what's for dinner, stomping around and muttering again, I think, about that good-for-nothing sister of hers. And she's completely missing the point of his visit. Colossians 1:17 says, Jesus himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. But it kind of seems like Martha thinks she's the one who has to hold all things together. In the heat of the moment, she seems to think everything depends on her, that she's got to bake the bread and set the table and prepare the meat and sweep away the crumbs from under the table. And if she doesn't get it all done, everything will be ruined. She's got to hold it all together. That's her responsibility as the head of the household. It's all up to her. She's got to get it done. As a little side note, when's the last time you found yourself in Martha's shoes? Not too long ago, I'm going to guess. She thinks she needs to hold the whole world together. But Jesus says to her, there is need of only one thing. And Mary, that good-for-nothing sister of yours, she has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I'm always fascinated by what this the better part is, because I think what Martha's doing is pretty good. So what Mary must be doing must be really, really good. But what is the better part? It's a little tricky to figure out because Martha gets so much of the attention in this story. In fact, Mary never says a word. Luke just tells us two things about Mary. She sat at the Lord's feet and she listened to what he was saying. So by sitting and listening, she is declaring herself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because isn't that what all the disciples would do? Sit and listen. It's a quiet and ordinary, radical thing for her to do, actually. Because really, she should be in the kitchen with Martha. Because that's the role of the women in those days. But Mary chooses to be quietly different. She chooses to sit and listen. She chooses the better part. This is her transformation in Christ because the gospel seed has taken root in her. And you can see the fruit of the Spirit growing in her. You can see how she is working out her salvation in fear and trembling, and she is working to stay connected to the vine. And in response, God is growing the fruit of the Spirit in her, the fruit of peace and patience in her. I mean, I don't know. I see it in this picture because, you know, if I were Mary here and if I heard Martha complaining to Jesus that she's in the kitchen doing all the work and I'm just sitting there doing nothing, it would be awfully hard to remain silent for me, as Martha sort of throws her under the bus to Jesus. Frankly, if I were Mary, I would have been awfully tempted to jump into the middle of the fray and to defend myself. The very fact that Mary is able to refrain from that, refrain from defending herself, sounds a lot like the fruit of self-control to me. Sometimes when it comes to my sisters and brothers, I do not have a lot of self-control when it comes to trying to defend myself. So for me, there's no doubt that the Master Gardener is weeding out the sin in Mary's heart, and in its place is growing the sweet, sweet fruit of a life that is pleasing to God. And it's not a showy, dramatic thing, because Mary's sitting and she's listening. But it's the fruit of the Spirit which is growing quietly yet surely in her. So if you take this story at face value, like we sometimes do, it makes it seem like the better part is to always sit, to always study, to always listen, to always pray, never to get to the work. But there's more than meets the eye to this story. You see, Jesus knows it's not all about sitting and listening. The disciples can't just sit there and listen to him all day long because there's work to do. There's hungry to feed and the naked to clothe and the sick to heal and the lost to find. You can't do that just sitting on your butt all day long. You got to get up and go to work. So here's the truth. You need both, right? You need both. A life guided by the Spirit is characterized by Mary's study and Martha's actions. But that might not be the message you get when you just read this story, which is why Luke really wants you to read the story before the same time you're reading this story. Last week, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that, we see the rich young man who hears but does not go and do. And in this story, we see Mary who goes and does, but does not listen. And you need both. Luke's point in putting these two stories back to back is that you need to listen and to do. You need to contemplate and pray and to act. You need to have faith and to do good works. They go hand in hand, and you can't have one without the other. Sanctification and transformation and discipleship are all about growing in grace. And it means loving thy neighbor, like the Good Samaritan, through active service. But it also means silent and patient listening, like Mary. Peace comes from quiet study. Patience grows in the struggle to do something that makes a difference. So the Samaritan and Mary belong together. Doing without listening, that becomes just busyness. Busyness that loses its purpose. And listening without doing, that's just making a mockery of what Jesus is telling us. In our world, we tend to be either or. We're this or we're that. But Luke is saying, be a radical. Be both. Be Martha and Mary. Not Martha or Mary. One of my favorite quotes is from the Lord of the Rings, when Bilbo Baggins says, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread." You know what that feels like? That's a Martha moment. That is a Martha moment when you feel completely overwhelmed and overcommitted and you're thinking that you've got to be the one to hold everything together or it's just going to fall to pieces and it will never be able to be fixed again. I know you feel that way because I've heard you say it. Maybe not quite in that way. Sometimes we get so busy that all the things we're doing lose their purpose. They lose their purpose, and we begin to believe the lie that we have to hold all things together. When that happens, in our very Martha of Martha-ish moments, we need to stop and have a Mary moment. Remembering the truth that Jesus is himself before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'm going to say that again because I think we all need to hear that again. Jesus himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In the end, he will hold things all together, especially when we can't. And once we believe that, not just up here, but like once we really believe that in here, and we redouble our efforts to stay connected to the vine, like Mary, we will begin to cultivate a life that is sweetened by the fruit of the Spirit, and one which is fully pleasing to the one who is the image of the visible and invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. In him all things hold together, not in us, in him. And so may it be so today and tomorrow and always for you and for this church. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.